My grandparents, my grandfather was Samuel John Hallett, and my grandmother was Violet Hallett Han, right. And married a Hallett.
Right.
As far as we know, they got married, moved straight into Newtown at Melbourne Port. He farmed. I don't know when he bought the shop or when they started the shop, but they had a shop, a milk parlour where they delivered milk and you could buy your milk. They had a farm which was in Newtown in between Victoria Terrace and the existing old houses, leading down to what we call the Fairfield, which is now where the co-op is.
And was that called Fairfield?
Yeah. Yes.
Because the field was called Fairfield, you know, because fields have different names.
Yeah, it was always classed as Fairfield Farm, because the fair, many, 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 many years ago, always came to Melbourne Port and went into that field.
Right.
So it was named
was
as Fairfield.
In your lifetime, can you remember that?
I can remember a fair coming to Melbourne, yes. Yeah,
the
but not very vividly.
Right. A fair that we would understand that by now, or...
As now,
sure.
Roundabouts and
right.
those sort of things.
Right.
That kind of fair.
Yeah.
They had a farm, and I believe my auntie used to take people to the station in a horse and trap as a little taxi service. Mm-hmm. Both my grandparents were involved in the Congregational Church. My granddad laid the foundation stone for the manse, and they continued being very sort of involved in the church all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They had 8 children. One died when she was 30. In a motorcycle accident. If I start at the beginning,
yep.
My eldest auntie married a baker in Henstridge, and they had what was then Dufour's Bakery and the store. The shop is still there, but not existing now. And they lived in the big house opposite called Cross House. Then it was my uncle, William, and he lived in what was classed as the castle. And he married somebody called Dorothy. My other uncle, Uncle Harry, he married a Dorothy. And she was a Dorothy Farr, but she came from London. So we think it was my uncle going either in the war,
right.
Somehow met
yeah.
Auntie
mm-hmm.
Dolly. Then there was another one, Uncle Fred, but he was always called Sam, don't know why. And he married Lillian, and they had one daughter. Then there was my Auntie Pearl, who was a nurse and married an Australian when she was nursing him in London in a hospital.
Ah.
And they lived in Dorchester. And I had another Auntie Laura, who's daughter lives behind me now, she's in her 90s, and she met her husband because he was a chauffeur, funny enough, for Beals, which
oh,
have
right.
now just
yes, yes.
gone into liquidation. He was a chauffeur for Beals, and he used to come down to Melbourne Port because one of the Beals married a dyke
oh, right.
in the dyke's factory.
Yes, yes.
And that's how they met. Then I had another auntie who was called Rose, and she moved to London. They never had any children. And then there was my mum. She was the youngest.
What's your mum's name?
Florence.
Was she known as Flo or
known as Flo
or something, right?
Yeah, Flo, yes. We've always thought it rather strange because there was a Louisa, a Rosa, and a Florence.
Ah.
So whether there's at some point in time there was an Italian connection,
oh,
we don't
right.
know.
Oh, yes. Well, lovely names, though. So your mum was she the seventh? No, where was she?
She was the eighth.
She was the eighth
Yes. No, she would have been the seventh,
yes,
wouldn't she?
Seventh chapter. Mm,
because Auntie Ivy died as... Yes, yes.
Ah, right. So you must have had lots of cousins.
Lots and lots
of
cousins.
Both sides, probably,
yes,
of your family.
Yes, yes, yeah. and unfortunately, I've got...
In the village?
Two cousins left and one sister.
Right.
Because I was... My mum was the youngest of the family, and I was the youngest in the family, so...
Right. So how many children in your family?
Three. I've got two... I had two sisters,
right,
one of which has died... One, unfortunately, has got dementia in a nursing home. So it's... So I remember that. My granddad died when I was 2 weeks old, January. And then I think probably because my mum was local, we always spent a lot of time at Newtown with my grandmother.
Right.
We used to walk here. Just going, I was pushed in a pram. I can remember going up, and I can remember she had a black cupboard behind the door. And when I was at school, I used to have to go from school up to the house because my mum used to clean and do things for her.
Yes.
There was always a cake in the cupboard for me.
You see, those are the sorts of details that people like the most, the sort of human touch of things.
There was always sort of family parties, I think, because it was such a big, you know, a big family.
But they're not big houses, are they, those ones?
No. They weren't terribly big, but all the children were brought
just
up there.
Squashed them in.
I suppose three in a bed, I don't know.
Yes.
So,
school, then?
Let's
go back to your parents. What did your parents do? What did your dad do for anything?
My dad was in the leather factory. He was... Well, he retired three times. But, no, he always worked in the leather trade.
Right.
With Southcombs, which was Enza's.
Yes.
And when Enza's sold, it was Fisher, and he worked for the Fishers. And then when they sold over to David Nichols, he went back there. So he worked for the whole three.
Right.
Talking about April Walker, he knew all the Southcombs, and that's how I knew April quite well.
Right.
My mum... must have worked in the factory when she was young, but once she got married, then she didn't go out to work, but she did home gloving.
She
made
a lot of women,
and she worked her way up, and she made all their sample gloves.
Oh, wow.
So that was my parents. My dad was a choir boy in the Church of England when he married my mum. Pressure, I don't know. He became a Congregationalist, and then he was an elder at the Congregational Church until he died. I had two sisters, one 15 years older than me and one 10 years older than me.
Right.
And then it was me. They all stayed in the village. My elder sister worked at Dyke's factory, and then she moved and after a while, and worked in Sherborne. She married a policeman in Sherborne. Unfortunately, he died. He was involved in an accident, and then he had multiple cirrhosis and died. My sister was the first female clerk to work in the bank in Sherborne.
Oh, really? Which bank was that?
The National Provincial in those days.
Yes.
Along Long Street. And then I came along. I went to the primary school here.
All right, yes.
And I expect you've seen a picture of it. The whole school, there's about 25 of us.
Oh.
So Mrs. Coney was our teacher. Miss Borum was the head teacher. And there was a Miss Tabor that taught as well.
Miss?
Tabor.
Ah, now that's a name I know from the church school.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So she then came over.
Yes, yeah.
So tell me about school life then. What do you remember? What are the... good things you remember, or maybe the not so good things you remember?
I can remember running away. I'd been to school about 3 days, and I came home and said, I think I'd had enough of that. It was entirely different. I suppose education was different in those days, but the lessons were not like they are now. You went, you read, you did your sums, and I can remember we used to go on nature walks down Wheatear Lane to a pond and get tadpoles, and where it's flooded out on the just past the White House Farm. We used to go there with the school. We used to walk through the woods at the top.
Yes. And did you do you remember enjoying that? Was that a sort of part of school life that you liked?
Yes, I think we all enjoyed playing and being outside because there was hardly any traffic. Mm. We used to draw hopscotches and they would stay outside the house for days. Mm. So you could do hopscotches, you could go off with a bottle of lemonade and sandwiches and be out all day. Nobody worry about you.
Yes.
It was so different.
Yes.
Down at the bottom of the hill here in Kingsbury, before they did the, I suppose it was flood protection, there was a waterfall.
Ah.
And there was nice, deepish pools that you could go in. And as children, we used to go and swim. And a girl up the road and me, we were the two youngest. And our elder sisters and... There was loads of children up here, Cables and Kings, used to take us down the bottom, have a big lilo, blow it up, and then take the cork out, so that we were, and we'd be absolutely drenched, and we'd go up to the lady at number 20. She used to work at South Gums, put on an electric fire, and dry all our clothes, so our parents didn't know we'd been in the water. so we did have. We had a privileged childhood.
Sounds like you had a lot of freedom.
Yes, and also we were very, very fortunate. I've got ration books now, but we never, ever went without anything.
Ah.
Because my mum's elder sister that married the baker and had the shop, every week we had a box of goodies. Come to us.
Little cakes and things.
Sweets
like that.
And cakes and bread. Whatever we wanted.
The relative that was in the.
Yes. So we never, never, ever was short of luxuries.
Yeah.
My uncles had the farm, so we always had chickens, ducks.
Yeah. So you had eggs.
Eggs.
Milk probably as well.
Yes. We had everything, you see. So we were privileged. When the others. It's always been a standing joke. My sister that's in the nursing home now used to go to the house next door because there was girls her age there. And she would have dry bread with brine sauce or cake, just a dry cake.
Yes.
And she would take her fruit cake and swap it for some of this rubbish that was given to her. But
so
it was because it was different.
That there were other children in the village who weren't.
Yes, but
the
I
same
think it was because
things.
It was different.
Yes.
We wanted to.
Yes.
To sample
so
something.
So she'd give up a piece of lovely moist fruit cake
for
a bit of dry bread with some brown sauce on it.
And my dad always the whole of the garden was down to vegetables.
Right. Yes.
And he also, so it's a big garden.
Yeah.
He also had an allotment where those houses are at the back.
Oh, there were allotments there.
That was allotments. That was all allotments. So he had an allotment there. So he grew that. And then where the houses are on the road as you go round a corner, the new houses.
Yes.
Not the ones that you lead in past the entrance where there's a big house and then.
There's one right on the corner with the track that goes next to it. Yes.
Before that. There were still allotments. He had ground and they used to keep pigs.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, we always had meat.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it sounds like you did have, yes.
Yes,
you know,
we were privileged.
In that respect.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And where you say that the house now is quite a nice house, it used to be just, it was Unwin's, which was a builder's merchant.
Right.
They used to keep their lorries underneath and somebody, sometimes chapels, lived on the top. And then it was sold and Mr. Hunt had it and put all his engines in there, steam engines. That was interesting because he had all these old steam engines.
Do you mean
there.
Mr. Hunt who now has the...
No,
right.
Nothing to do with him.
Right.
It was Mr. Hunt, they had a cycle shop in Sherborne, all gone now.
Yeah. So then at some point they converted it back to a sort of a house, didn't they?
Yes.
You can see it's quite an old building, that one.
Oh, it is, yes. It was always there from right. when I was a small child, because right. we used to go around and peep to see the engines through the... Because he was always working.
Did he bring his engines out along the road? Did you see...
He did take them sometimes, but of course it was not that uncommon a sight.
No, I suppose not. No.
If they were tarring the roads, you had a steamroller yes. that blew out the smoke and...
Yes, of course. Mm. So school you got used to in the end then, or did you never yes. particularly like it?
Yeah, I liked school. We had to go to school, didn't you?
Yeah.
I stayed down there till I took my 11 plus. Mm-hmm. And because we were Somerset, you had to go either to Yeovil to school yes. and make your own way to Yeovil.
Right.
Or try and get into Sherborne.
Right.
So there was somebody called Nigel Morse. He took his 11 plus, same time as I did. Both passed. There's several of us. And we just couldn't get to the school.
Right.
So I took my 11 plus three times, 11, 12 and 13.
And the school at that point then in Sherborne would have been what, St Alden's?
No. Lord Digby School, which is...
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
For girls and Foster's for the boys.
Ah.
And when I did... It came to that we could go to Nigel did go to Foster's, but he was a boy, and it was felt that he needed to go to that. I said, I don't really want to go for 2 or 3 years to Sherborne.
So where did you go then?
I went to the church school, which is now the Clockspire.
Oh, I see.
So we transferred
from... You started here. And yeah,
that's the infant. That was the infant
right.
school.
Yes.
Because... When I went down to that school, it was all ages, but then they brought in, you had to have an infant school and a senior school.
Oh, I see.
And because I was a Congregationalist, I then was exempt from going to the church services, and it was all very, very complicated in those days.
So you left school at what age?
I left school when I was 15.
Right.
And on my 15th birthday, I started working... Then it was called T.S. Bartlett, Solicitors in Sherborne on Green Hill.
Oh.
And I did 50 years for the same firm.
Oh, my goodness me. Wow.
But it changed names. It's now Mojo Druitts. But, Mojo's just
so
Mojo.
So what work did you do when you were 15 years old?
I went in as a receptionist.
Oh, wow.
And then I worked up
it
and I was a probate manager.
You must have been quite an impressive teenager then to get a job like that at the age of 15.
I got the job because my sister was in the bank.
Ah.
And... T.S. Bartlett banked with NatWest, and my sister knew the people that used to go in and do it, and she said, if ever there's a job going,
right.
I've got a sister who's I was taught shorthand and typing when I was about 13.
At the church school?
No.
Ah.
My parents paid for me to have lessons.
Ah.
And...
That stood you in good stead then.
Yes, yeah, so I got the job, started on my 15th birthday and retired on my 65th birthday.
Same you must thing. Have seen so many changes there.
Oh, I did, yes. Then. I mean, I made the local press, the national press, all the legal books. Because I started as a receptionist, and then when I finished, I was a probate and trust manager.
Right.
So, that was very interesting. I loved my work. Would like to be doing it now, but... It's entirely different.
Well, life is much easier if you love your work, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, yes.
It must be
yes.
a struggle to... Mm. You have to get up every day and hate where you're going and what you're doing.
So that was my working. I suppose when I was 11, 12, there was nothing in the village.
Mm.
There was a youth club, but it was nothing.
There was a youth club. Where was the youth club?
I don't really know, because I didn't go
right.
into Millwall.
Because I heard that the Mission Hall was used... As
oh, there
sort
was.
Of youth club.
Yes, you could go there. But
right.
you see, that was the other side of the village to
yes.
us. And in those days, you were up this end and they were that end.
Oh.
But
I've heard also that it was a bit of divide between what side of the A30 you were.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, and I think Cora said that to me, that somehow the people this side, and of course, this side of the village is actually larger than the other side
yes,
of the village.
Yes, it is,
it?
Yeah. And it, of course it was.
She said they tended not to mix. It was almost like you're going onto the dark side if you go onto the other
well,
side.
Well, I know the
policeman
lived down in South Street, but his wife used to make our clothes. And again, I suppose I don't really know, but we were privileged. There was a lady down in London Road who used to do smocking, and those dresses, where the picture I showed you, she used to do all this smocking on the dresses. So we used to have all our dresses made there. And then we went to Strawbridge to a tailor and have all our coats and everything made there. Right.
So your father must have been doing pretty well then in the work that he was doing. I mean, or just be very good with money. And
I think they were very good with money.
Yeah. Managed their money well and carefully and prioritised. Do you remember going on holidays?
Yes. We had as long back as I can remember, after the war, when my dad came home from the war, when I was born, that was in the middle of the war, 41, my aunt that lived in London came home from London because of all the bombing,
right,
and brought with her a friend of hers and their daughter.
Right.
And they lived, well, Auntie Dolly, the one from London, not my real auntie, she lived here with her daughter Valerie.
Right.
During the war.
Ah.
And then Valerie had something wrong with her leg, and my dad he used to pay for her to have treatment in Sherborne Hospital.
Right.
And I can remember Valerie saying, and my dad saying, he never said it with a grudge, he had to pay 10 shillings, which was a lot of money, in the early, late 40s, to get an ambulance to take Valerie to the hospital in Sherborne.
Right.
And Valerie stayed here with my parents. My mum brought her up until she was about 8.
Wow.
As one of us.
Right.
Because it wasn't good to go back to London. Sure. Excuse me.
So in effect she was an evacuee, I suppose.
Hello. Yeah, no, I've got the lady with me, if I have one. Yeah, she was an evacuee and stayed here until, well, she was a good 8.
Right.
Or more.
So beyond the end of the war then?
Oh yes, long after the war. Oh. And then she went back to London, and by that time her mum had two boys and a girl, so she had a family that she didn't know.
Strange.
And she always said we were her family. Aww. And she died last year.
So were you quite close? Oh,
very close. Very, very close.
Sister?
Yes. She called us her adopted sisters.
And were you aware of other evacuees in the village at that time?
I can't remember any evacuees. Because
there was one at the Luffmans, I know that.
My mum, as I say, she kept Valerie. Yes. I know there was two down at one or two, because when he came to see me, it was the district valuer, and he'd been evacuee down there.
Ah, how strange. So you don't remember them necessarily being in school?
No, because you see, when they came, I was a baby.
You were only little anyway, yes, of course. Yes.
I was too small.
Yes.
But my dad, down the bottom there, he made a dugout. So we loads of Melbourne Port, would come
so
in.
You had a shelter in your backyard?
We had a shelter in a garden.
I suppose other people must have done as well, then, did they?
I don't know. We had all the people from around here that used to go. People two doors down, next door,
sounds very resourceful, your dad. You know, with the vegetables and the
And then and my sister is in, as I say, in a nursing home, and she, the other day they were talking about the war, one of the carers, she can remember who we are, but it's her short term memory.
Sure. Yes,
she could remember what she wore to somebody's wedding, if you asked her.
Yes, but not what she had for lunch.
No, she gets it. Must have been all right because I've eaten it. But she said that one of the carers said, come and read this. This is what Ruby told us, and we wrote it all down. And she had written about that my dad had had this dugout, and it was good, but it did drip water, and I was taken down either in a drawer from a cupboard or in a box. And she was woken up at night and taken down. But if it was something not too serious, they went under the stairs.
Yes.
So she could remember. But you see, I can't I can't really remember any of that.
Yeah. Yes.
I can remember Valerie, and I really thought, to begin with, Valerie was our sister.
Right.
Because she was part of the family,
yes.
Always treated the same.
Yes.
And all her life, when she got married and had 8 children.
Wow.
But when they used to come from London to Cornwall, they always came in here and stopped.
Right. With her 8 children?
Yeah, with 8 children. Yeah, they had a big vehicle. You know, they got from 2 to 4. And then they moved down to Cornwall and they came up every 6 to 8 weeks to see us.
That
always.
Is really regular.
Yes, yeah, yes. And when she was very ill, she said, "I'll never forget the kindness that you were shown." And she, you know, she was here, obviously went to church and Sunday school, as we all did, and went back and always went to church. All her children went to church and Sunday school. She met her husband, Brian, and he was a Boys Brigade leader, which pleased my dad because he was a...
Oh, yes, I want to hear about that.
He was in the Boys Brigade.
That's been so bizarre, then, for Valerie, going back to live in London after having been here for her formative years... To a family that she didn't know, probably parents that she barely remembered.
Yes,
well.
Yeah, that's right.
Really, I mean, obviously the war created all sorts of bizarre situations, didn't it?
And I mean, as a girl, when she was growing up, she was 8 years older than me, 2 years younger than my other sister, so she was 8 years older than me. And they used to come down with different boyfriends, and time and time again, she'd phone up and she'd say, "Uncle Ted, we're down at Southampton, we've broken down." And so my dad would get his brother, because we didn't have a car in those days, to go up and pick her up and bring her back here.
Tell me about the Boys Brigade.
Boys Brigade, my dad was an officer in the Boys Brigade. My sister played the piano for the Boys Brigade.
Where did they meet?
In the Methodist.
Right.
And when they had any big occasion, it was in the Victoria Hall.
Right. And what was the purpose of the Boys Brigade then? And, you know, what sort of activities were they involved in? Because do they exist anymore, the Boys?
Yes, I think they do. It used to be a Methodist. It was sort of based around a Methodist church.
Mm.
And you had weekly meetings. They did a lot of sporting activities.
Is it a bit like Scouts and Cubs?
Yes, right. Very, very much.
Yes.
But it went on, you could be older. I mean, they used to go to... camps. I've got loads and loads of pictures of my dad in the Isle of Wight, and they did all these big parades where they were done up in their uniforms. I've still got my dad's uniform anyway.
And was there quite a lot of music? Was it like, did they have like a band? Would they play
a band? Yes. Handbells, all sorts. It was where all the boys went.
And at any point did girls start going, or was it always Boys Brigade?
Always Boys Brigade, because you had the guides. And you had the Girls' Guildry. The Girls' Guildry was...
I haven't heard of that.
Yes, that was connected to the Methodist.
Girls' Guildry.
Yeah. Oh. And you were a Speedwell, and the hat Mrs. Hallett ran that.
Was she a relative of yours?
Hmm?
Was she a relative of yours?
No, not at all. You see, that's it.
She might be a distant relative.
There is just so many Hallets.
20 times removed or something.
Mm. So my dad was into the Boys Brigade for as long as I can remember.
What do you think motivated him to do that sort of thing? What did he like about that sort of...
Oh, he liked to be involved.
He just wanted to be active and
He wanted to be involved in helping the community.
Right, yes.
And when we sold the land, we said my grandparents would have been so pleased... that it was now a doctor's surgery because it would be helping the community because they were much, very much for the community.
Yes.
We sold the plot of land to a speculator who's now sold it on for the shop, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, it's still something for the community.
Yeah, it is, yes.
So, he just liked to be involved in, and everybody knew him.
Yeah.
And, when he was on the commonality, be nothing for 10 o'clock at night for somebody to knock the door and say, oh, Ted, can you come down? I've got a leak. And off he'd go on his bike and try and sort it out. Or if he couldn't, he'd get somebody. Yeah. That is what it was all about in those days.
Yes, tell me more about that then, about the sort of sense of community.
I just felt that everybody was looking after everybody else. Mm. I mean, we were absolutely terrified of the policeman because he would say, don't you do that, I'll be up to see your father today. And we thought, well, no, don't want to do this. And I can remember when it was Miss PC Richards, and then there was Cornelia, he was a policeman, and he was friendly with my uncle, and he used to say, I'm watching you. So
were you naughty?
No, I don't think we were, really. We were probably mischievous.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? Yeah.
But it is entirely different. I mean, as children, we would go, if there was snow, we'd walk all across the fields with a tray.
Yes.
Or a bag and come down over East Hill. It was safe as anything because there's no cars up there.
Yes.
We'd go in the wood and do the same, come down through the wood.
Yes.
Over here, I mean, there's a picture on there of us over there, just in the field opposite. When I can vaguely remember the fire, because obviously it was very close, but my sisters went down, but I was too small to go down. So it finished burning, and then I could see. And as a child, yes, it was terrible, but... And I never thought much about it, actually.
Do you remember the Swatchford Barn fire?
Over there?
Yeah.
Well, I can remember a fire, but, again, it never, ever stuck in... I don't know why those things didn't stick in my mind.
Maybe because you didn't feel personally threatened by them. There was something that was happening
away
somewhere else.
And I expect, I was told, don't worry about it. It's, you know, it's not going to hurt us. And I just literally took that on. Mm. I mean, when we were all growing up and before the playing fields were down there, we used to go, I think that was with the guides and the guildry, with buckets. And twice a week we picked up stones in the buckets to clear the ground.
Were you paid to do that?
No, we were children and that was go down and do it.
Do you remember feeling resentful about that?
No, we loved it. We just loved doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Who's going to fill their bucket first?
Yes, and, of course.
And we used to fish down in the river down here. I mean, never caught anything. If we did, we brought them home, put them in the bird's bath, and the birds would eat the fish. So it was pointless.
I'm interested in you saying that there was a little waterfall when you went down.
Over here, directly over into that field there.
Yes.
And just up to your right a little bit, there was a water. It was beautiful. Always, always kingfishers there.
And is there, so that the waterfall just isn't there anymore?
No, they did a refiguration of the
river.
Yes, yeah, when it used to flood so badly.
Yes. Well, still floods quite a lot in those fields.
Mm.
I mean, few,
not
few
as much as it used to. And, of course, it came down here. It flooded the mill.
Yes.
Flooded all through there. You couldn't come down Court Lane and across here because it was too deep.
Cora said she remembers it being halfway up Court Lane.
Yes, I can. Mm. I can remember that.
So, when you were at the church school then, so how old were you when you started?
11.
So, 11 to 15.
Mm, mm.
So, what do you remember about the teachers there or about the way things were run?
I can remember the headmaster, Mr. Bradford, who had a dog called Ben, sat under his desk, and it was very old school, and there was mice and things. And so when you saw mouse, there was a family at Wick called the Axes, and there's one still lives in Milbourneport, and they always wore hobnail boots, and he'd say, axe a mouse, and he'd go and kill mice.
With hobnail boots?
Yeah, hobnail boots. So they used to walk in from Milbourneport. They came from Bowden to the Milbourneport School. They used to walk in. All the Higginses walked from Goat Hill into Milbourne School.
So they're very distinctive families then. I get the impression because those of you that I've interviewed have talked specifically, you know, the way that you've just done. You know,
yes, the because they were big families, yes. And so the ones that came from Wick were the Axes.
So the Axes from Wick, the who's it from? Higgins is from Goat Hill.
And now I can't remember the family's surname from Bowden, but it Laycock. Coming down from Laycock, the big farmhouse there. Yes. They were Rawlins, and we had a girl called Diane Rawlins, who used to come in. And I don't really know, because they had other children, and they were well cared for. I think eventually Diane was moved. She was moved into care, but we didn't know that at the time.
No, sure.
But she would come in, walking in the summer in Wellington boots, and in the winter with plimsolls that had holes in them, and we took clothes to school and shoes so that, the teachers could put it on her while she was in school, so that she didn't feel left
out. So you said it was old school. What do you mean by that? Are you talking
an
about
old strictness? Building?
It was yes. I mean, obviously,
an old.
Was it old fashioned?
Old fashioned, yes. I would going from. The primary, which was comparatively new, small school, after something like that, it was so high, and it was, I just don't know. I enjoyed school, but...
So were you in, obviously it's not a huge area, that school, is it? It must be mixed age groups in the classes then.
No, not that I can remember. We were so probably 11 and 12... 13 and 14.
So probably.
And it was a good school. I mean, we had trips to London. I can remember going to see King and I in London. We used to go to the Ideal Homes exhibition.
And was that paid for, or was that something that your
parents? No, I think we had to pay.
And do you remember the teachers apart from Mr.
Yes,
Bradford?
I can remember Mr. Burkett, Mrs. Dunn.
And did you have these teachers, like in secondary school now, did you have different teachers for different subjects?
No.
So
you
like
had
a
teacher, really.
Who taught you everything in your own
As a Mr. Beard. Mr. Beard, Mr. Burkett, Mrs. Dunn.
What were you good
Mr.
at?
Mr. Bradford.
What were you good at school? What would you say was your strongest subject?
Probably maths.
Yeah.
I didn't like geography and I didn't like history.
Right. But you like history now, though.
It's been pushed on to me. I don't think you had a choice of knowing. I liked cooking. Mm. I suppose if I could have had a choice, but it was you do shorthand and typing, I think I would have chose cooking. I did enjoy cooking.
And was there any sort of qualification when you left school at 15? Was there? Did you go with some sort of qualification?
No, you just left school.
And was there any talk of you going on to do other things?
No. Because they knew I'd done shorthand and typing, so I was likely to get a job.
Ah, right.
I don't know. But out of all the group of friends that I had, I was the only one that went into an office. The others did shop.
Right.
That sort of thing.
And do you remember feeling quite happy about going straight into work?
Yes, I loved it.
Right.
I loved it from the day I walked in
to the day
I left.
And did your pet, when you were 15, you brought home your first sort of wage packet. Were you expected to make a contribution?
Yes, I made a contribution. And I started with £2 gross. And I had to pay tax.
Right.
I've still got my cash, my wages book.
Yes.
I've still got all the wages books when had used to have to sign for your £2.
Yes.
And we didn't have enough money, really, to go on the bus. If it was bad, I mean, my parents used to pay for me.
Yeah.
But because all my friends couldn't afford it, they worked in the shops.
Yes.
We used to go on a bike. And I suppose we cycled to work for a good 10 years.
Wow. Sherborne. There was less traffic at that time.
We were always in trouble because you know you get 10 of us. There was two or three chaps that worked in Child's Garage. There was two that worked in Denner's, which was Denner's in those days. Well, it was Phillips in those days. I worked in the office.
So you were quite a little convoy of cyclists.
There was 10 or 12 of us,
right,
you see.
Well, taking up the road.
And so we'd go on, and we didn't care who was coming out behind us. And one man, Mr. Drew, whose daughter, funny enough, worked in an office that we took over, Anne, he used to stop and wave his hands, and we'd just go on cycling. And if it was really, really bad weather, the milk float that used to come from Hunt's Dairies used to tell us to meet him at the bottom of the town, and we'd sit on his... We would never be allowed now.
No,
sit
not.
On the back of a float, no, to weigh it down for him to go back to Sherborne.
So when you were 15, you were bringing home your sort of first bit of money. What did you spend your money on when you were 15 years old? You remember?
I don't really know. I mean, I was always taught to save. Mm. And if I wanted anything, you know, I would have to save for it.
Yes.
And my parents used to say, by the time you've got enough to buy it, you won't want it. And it was true. I didn't want it.
That's a very good way of looking at it, absolutely.
You didn't have a lot of money to spend, to be honest. I mean, if we went into the pictures, we'd either cycle in,
yeah,
and it was sixpence to go in or something in Sherborne, and then have to cycle home. Time and time again, we'd go on the bus and miss the last bus home and have to walk home. There was no way you could phone to let people know you were coming.
Is there a cinema in Sherborne then?
Yeah.
Whereabouts was that?
Do you know where Wakeley's, the Undertaker, is?
No.
Along Newland.
Yes, right.
Yeah, along there, that's where it was. And opposite was a sweet shop. So that was...
So have you ever thought, in all these years that you've lived here, have you ever thought about moving somewhere else?
No,
to live in
I mean, I've travelled... We're going back to holidays.
Yes.
When I was 4, we went to Weymouth for a holiday. Either we went to Weymouth, we went to Bournemouth, or went to the Isle of Wight.
Right.
Until I left school,
yes,
every single year,
yes,
we had at least one holiday. When I left school, my parents then said... It's our time now. They went to Jersey for 2 weeks and they did a coach trip.
Right.
As long as I can remember, when I was 15 up until they were too old to do it.
It was always to Jersey.
Or a coach trip. Oh, they travelled wherever you could go on a coach. Abroad.
Right.
They did Oberammergau, Monte Carlo.
Oh, right. Wow.
Lovely picture of my dad in Monte Carlo.
And for them, was that the first time that they had the opportunity and the money to be able to go abroad and do those sorts of things?
Yes, I suppose when I was growing up, you didn't do it as much. I was fortunate. I was six. When I was 15, because we went to the youth club in Sherborne, we had a minister in there who was very good. He took us, firstly, we went to Austria.
Wow.
And when I was 15.
Wow. So that was your first time abroad?
Yeah, first time abroad. And then we did Switzerland. Then we did Vienna.
Fantastic.
And then we did Copenhagen.
That's amazing.
And that wasn't... That was, you know, when I was at the youth club.
Yes.
But I suppose when I was 18, we were very, very... brave. We used to go from here to London and go over to Luton and fly to Spain.
When you were 18?
18.
Mm. With your friends?
Yeah, there was four of us. We used to do it.
That is pretty adventurous.
Very adventurous.
Yeah. Where in Spain did you
go? It was... Well, I suppose to begin with, it was the Costa Brava.
Right.
Barcelona... All along, you know, as
yes.
you do, and lap up the sun.
Yes.
Always 2 weeks in the sun. And we saved every week, £2 a week, into the bank that paid for the holiday.
Wonderful.
And we did that for a good number of years. Then I met a friend. I mean, still, that was him now phoning.
Huh?
Still a friend. And we started to go abroad, and well, last year was the first year that we haven't been. Sometimes we've been three times a year.
Wow.
But so I do feel I've had quite a good life.
I was just thinking the very same thing. It sounds like you've had a really fulfilling.
And when we went with the youth clubs to on the holidays, it was so-called educational, but we did have our free time as well.
Yes.
We went to the Tivoli Gardens. Will you imagine taking 30 young people to Tivoli Gardens?
My experience of going on school trips as a teacher, that it's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And exhausting, absolutely exhausting.
Oh, we did Sweden. So I was very fortunate in the group I was that we did those sort of things.
Yes.
Wow. So, yeah, I've had a good life, a happy life. Never. And when I'm away, however wonderful the holiday's been, I mean, I've stayed in the Waldorf Hotel in New York. But I've always wanted to.
Of course, you want
to come home. It's great to come home.
We have this running joke in our family.